It's been 50 years since a local group of anti-war activists raided a small FBI office in Media, Pennsylvania, and stole documents exposing the Bureau's widespread surveillance of U.S. citizens and the now notorious COINTELPRO operation, targeting notable black leaders, among others. The burglars will return to the scene of the crime next week for placement of a historical marker and a commemoration of the groundbreaking heist. WHYY's Kenny Cooper has more.
They were tumultuous times as the 1960s became the 1970s. The Civil Rights Movement, the Vietnam War, protests and peace marches, resistance from activists meeting resistance from law enforcement and government all across the country. In Philadelphia, eight people calling themselves the Citizens Commission to investigate the FBI pulled off a risky break-in, stealing more than 1,000 documents from a bureau office across from the Delaware County Courthouse. Some of those papers revealed abuses of power at the nation's highest levels. As Bonnie Raines, now 79, notes,
50 years ago we were criminals, and now we're heroes. So isn't that the way history goes sometimes?
Bonnie first immersed herself in the civil rights and anti-war movement down south. That's also where she met her husband, John Raines, a one-time Temple University religion professor who died in 2017 at age 84. John Raines was a part of the Freedom Rides before the couple moved north to Philadelphia to join the many others who had coalesced to disrupt the draft and thus the war. Keith Forsyth, now 71 and living in Manayunk, dropped out of Wooster College in Ohio and hitchhiked all the way to Philly in 1970 for basically the same reason.
Once I realized how, you know, the lies that were being told about that war and how evil it actually was, it sort of opened me up to questioning a lot of other stuff, and I became much more aware of, you know, all the shortcomings in our society.
Eventually, they met the man who would mastermind the media FBI heist, William Bill Davidon, a physics and mathematics professor at Haverford College.
Bill seemed like one of the few people that I knew, you know, who really had the chops to organize and lead something like this successfully.
They began to case the FBI's media office in a building at One Veteran Square that also housed apartments and monitor the patterns of the people around it, including at the county courthouse across the street. But by February 1971, they still needed to get inside and up to the second floor. Bonnie Raines got in by impersonating a Swarthmore College student interested in FBI opportunities for women.
And I was 29 at the time, but everybody said that I still looked kind of like a kid. So I tried to disguise my appearance as much as I could. I put my hair, long hair, up inside of a winter hat, and I wore glasses that I didn't ordinarily wear, and tried to look like a college student.
Bonnie got a mental snapshot of the office, so they set the date strategically, March 8th, 1971, when people everywhere will be watching the fight of the century, Muhammad Ali versus Joe Frazier. Working around some obstacles, the 21-year-old Forsyth picked the lock, broke a deadbolt, and got the door open, all without being heard by the building manager who happened to live right downstairs.
The manager was indeed listening to the fight on the radio because I could hear it through the floor. That provided some very welcome distraction.
The group grabbed as many files as it could and drove to a Quaker farm in Pottstown.
We sent them to three journalists at the Washington Post, the New York Times, and the Los Angeles Times. And we also sent copies of the documents to two members of Congress.
But the two lawmakers sent their copies to the FBI, as did the LA Times and the New York Times. Enter Betty Metzger, a reporter for the Washington Post, whom Bonnie and John Raines had known from her days working for the old Philadelphia Bulletin in the 1960s.
The first file was the one that became sort of emblematic of the burglars file, a document that advised agents and informers to make people paranoid. That was their word.
There were files, for example, that revealed the FBI had hired informants to listen in on phone calls at Swarthmore College and had surveilled every black student on campus. The Nixon administration pressured Washington Post publisher Katherine Graham and editor Ben Bradley, Metzger says, but ultimately the Post decided to publish.
But I like to think that because of the very difficult time that she had back in March, it was an easier thing for her to say yes. To the Pentagon Papers.
In 1975, the FBI came under fire by Congress during hearings that revealed illegal operations by intelligence agencies. The FBI had systemically spied on, sought to discredit, and at certain points neutralized members of the civil rights, feminists, environmentalists, Puerto Rican independents, and communist movements.
Prior to the burglary, there was no official oversight of intelligence agencies, which made it possible for secrecy and crimes to occur in these agencies.
Once their job was done, the burglars pledged a vow of secrecy until the statute of limitations for burglary ran out. Their involvement stayed more or less secret until the 1980s. A book by Metzger and a Netflix documentary followed as the decades passed. A historical marker recognizing the heist will be officially unveiled September 1st at One Veteran Square. Also planned are a book signing, a screening of the documentary, and a live panel discussion featuring the burglars. Metzger, a former FBI agent and a civil rights attorney. Tickets can be purchased at www.mediaartscouncil.org/medburg. Kenny Cooper, WHYY News.